Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
A very good evening to all listeners. We thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a privilege to come your way, and it's a joy to be with you from now till 9:30. And sorry for the delay in starting. Schedule shifted a bit, so starting now, that's 8:05. So we thank God, and tonight is very interesting because I'll be talking to a prophet in Accra, and he'll be sharing something the Lord showed him 2020. And I watched the video this week, and the pastor who shared it with me, a friend, so I contacted him and I said, can I get him on Issues of Life this evening to share extra information the Lord showed him regarding the times you are in and all that. So I spoke to him this morning and he agreed to be on. So he'll be joining me by phone this evening. But first, we'll talk about the news and the things happening in the world. Then he'll join us to share the Lord's message and all that. You know, there are two different scenarios when it comes to prophecies. You know, when the thing has already started and someone says, It may be from God or it may not be from God, because it's obvious when you can see it and you say it. So, but when the thing hasn't started at all and the Lord gives a message, that one, you know that indeed this is the Lord that is making the children know. You know, if you read Amos 3 verse 7, it says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." So, you know, the Lord reveals things to his prophets before things unfold. So if in 2020 the Lord says there will be a global famine, and now we are seeing it unfolding in the early stages, we have to pay attention to it. But well, we'll get into it later in the program. First, the news, Eben, and you can get the recordings of previous editions. Last week I was talking about, you know, how we should prepare for the times ahead and all these things. And I believe tonight's edition will also be a blessing to you. So, let's start with the news. Not on a good note, because the first one says monkeypox. Monkeypox cases investigated in Europe, US, Canada, and Australia. I think I just read this afternoon Israel too has been added to it. So cases of monkeypox are being investigated in several European countries, as well as the United States, Canada, and Australia, according to health authorities and local media reports. The new cases were reported in Belgium, France, Australia, and Germany. I think let me add Israel, because then this follows infections confirmed in Italy, Sweden, Spain, Portugal, US, Canada, and UK, where the first European case was reported. Monkeypox is most common in remote parts of Central and West Africa. Everything but Africa. Instances of the disease outside of the region are often linked to travel to the area. Monkeypox is a rare viral infection, which is usually mild and from which most people recover in a few weeks, according to UK's National Health Service. The virus does not spread easily between people, and the risk to the wider public is said to be very low. The first case of the disease in UK was reported on 7th May. The patient had recently traveled to Nigeria, where they are believed to have caught the virus before traveling to England, the UK Health Security Agency said. And then there are now 20 confirmed cases in the UK, Health Secretary Javid said on Friday. There's no specific vaccine for monkeypox, but a smallpox jab offers 85% protection, since the two viruses are quite similar. Authorities in the UK said they had bought stocks of the vaccine and started offering it to those with higher levels of exposure to monkeypox. Spanish health authorities have also reportedly purchased thousands of smallpox jabs to deal with the outbreak, according to Spanish newspaper El Paris. Australia's first case was detected in a man who fell ill after traveling to the UK, the Victorian Department of Health said. In North America, health authorities in the U.S. state of Massachusetts confirmed that a man has been identified or infected after recently traveling to Canada. He was in good condition and poses no risk to the public, officials said. But then the next news in the course of the week, WHO calls emergency meeting as monkeypox cases cross 100 in Europe. So the WHO, that's World Health Organization, was due to hold an emergency meeting on Friday, that's yesterday, to discuss the recent outbreak of monkeypox, a viral infection more common to West and Central Africa, after more than 100 cases were confirmed or suspected in Europe. In what Germany described as the largest outbreak in Europe ever, cases have been reported in at least 8 European countries, they list them, as well as United States, Canada, Australia, and Israel. So, first identified in monkeys, the disease typically spreads through close contact and has rarely spread outside Africa. So, this series of cases has triggered concern. The WHO was due to hold an emergency meeting on Friday to discuss the recent outbreak of monkeypox, a viral infection, and all that. So, they go on to say, however, scientists do not expect the outbreak to evolve into pandemic like COVID-19, given the virus does not spread as easily as SARS-CoV-2, that's the COVID-19 one. So monkeypox is usually a mild viral illness characterized by symptoms of fever as well as a distinctive bumpy rash. So basically, if you look at the pictures of it, it makes the skin like you have lots of boils on the skin and all that blisters, and so it will be filled with some pus type of liquid. So that's it. So another, just watch and see how it evolves. But you know, from the biblical point of view, you know, when the Bible says there will be pestilences, then we can know that beyond COVID, and there will be other ones that would be coming in the world. All right, so we go to Israel. We have Israel to simulate striking Iran in massive IDF drill. That is Israeli Defense Forces, their drill. That is quite serious, because to simulate striking Iran means it's getting close. So the IDF will simulate striking targets far from Israel's borders with a large number of planes, while simultaneously acquiring new targets on various fronts in real time during its largest military drill in history. The drill is unique and unprecedented in scope and will enable the army to maintain a high level of readiness in an ever-changing region, the IDF said. It aims to improve the military's capabilities in an intense, multi-front and prolonged war on all its borders. During the drill, the IEF, that's Israeli Air Force, will practice striking targets far from Israel's borders, while troops continue to contend with a multi-front war on its borders. The IDF is planning several military options against Iran should the nuclear talks between the West and the Islamic Republic fail. and it will practice one of the possible options during the exercise. The military will also implement the lessons learned from Operation Guardian of the Walls throughout the entire month. And then, during the 11 days of fighting last year, there was heavy rioting in those areas as well as in mixed Arab Israeli cities such as Lod and Jaffa. Two people were killed and several civilians were injured. As part of the drill, the IDF will simulate scenarios in which there is rioting twice as violent as last year's. The military wants to be able to send troops before violence breaks out and not in response to the violence. And it will work to keep roads open in areas in the Negev and then in the Wadi area of the north. Thousands of soldiers and reservists are taking part in the drill dubbed Chariots of Fire. Interesting. All commands, including the IAF and Israeli Navy, and regular and reserve forces will take part. That's very interesting. Israel preparing for war. All right. So this week, the big news from Europe was Sweden and Finland officially applied to join NATO. And Finland has a direct border with Israel, with Russia. So that was quite a surprise as to how Russia is going to react to Putin. So Sweden also said they are also joining. So they have, and they've met U.S. president this week, giving the support to it and all. But then Turkey, who is a NATO member, says no way, he's not agreeing to it. An agreement is important because per the statutes of NATO, all 30 members or the countries should agree. So if even one country opposes, you cannot be allowed to join. So with Turkey, who is a friend of Russia, opposing this, it changes the whole thing. This evening I just read the news that Finland and Swedish leaders have called Erdogan, the Turkish president, to talk to him. I don't know whether they can convince him though. So the headline says Turkey threatens to block Finland and Sweden NATO bids. So Turkey's president has restated his opposition to Finland and Sweden joining NATO hours after they said they will seek membership. So Recep Erdogan said the two Nordic nations should not bother sending delegations to convince Turkey, a key NATO member, of their bids. He is angered by what he sees as their willingness to host Kurdish militants. Without the support of all NATO members, Sweden and Finland cannot join the military alliance. On Monday, Sweden said Europe was living in a dangerous new reality, referring to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin said the move by Finland and Sweden to join 30-member military alliance did not threaten Moscow directly, but stressed that any expansion of military infrastructure would trigger a response from the Kremlin. And that's where the issue is, because by all means there will have to be military infrastructure expansion. And that is where only God knows what will happen if they do. All right, so let's get into a UN report. United Nations report is warning, and the headline says 18 million facing severe hunger in West Africa's Sahel. So the UN is warning that 18 million people in Africa's Sahel region face severe hunger in the next 3 months, citing the impact of Russia's war in Ukraine, the coronavirus pandemic, climate-induced shocks, and rising costs. The hunger crisis may press increased numbers of people to migrate out of the affected regions or areas, said the UN official. The largest number of people are at risk of severe hunger across the region since 2014, and 4 countries, Burkina Faso, Chad, Mali, and Niger, are facing alarming levels, with nearly 1.7 million people facing emergency levels of food insecurity there. The Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs and said on Friday, parts of the Sahel region, a vast territory stretching across the south of the Sahara Desert, have faced their worst agricultural production in more than a decade, and food shortages could worsen as the lean season arrives in the late summer. Thompson Fury, spokesman for the UN Nobel Peace Prize-winning World Food Programme, said, "The situation is definitely going to get worse before it gets better," he told reporters in Geneva. "We may see more people trying to make ends meet by migrating. It's a very, very likely possibility." And you know, if they are to migrate from Burkina, Ghana is their first choice that they'll be coming to. You know, if you've seen the cost of tomatoes now, it's one of the contributing factors. You know, a lot of our tomato comes from Burkina, and this crisis is affecting them badly. So the shortage, you know, so this whole issue is intertwined. Yeah. And then it goes on to say that many from the region are among migrants who seek to travel north to Europe in hopes of economic opportunity, more stability and safety. A combination of violence, insecurity, deep poverty, and record high food prices is exacerbating malnutrition and driving millions to the fringes of survival. Martin Griffiths, the head of OCHA, said in a statement, "The recent spike in food prices, driven by the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, is threatening to turn a food security crisis into a humanitarian disaster." He said, those two countries are key producers of wheat, barley, and other agricultural products, and the conflict has almost entirely halted exports through the Black Sea. Griffiths' office is releasing $30 million from its emergency relief fund for the four African countries. Humanitarian groups earlier this year launched appeals seeking $3.8 billion in aid for the region in 2022, but they remain only 12% funded, OCHA said. That's a very worrying situation. But we come to Ghana, and we have government extends temporary ban on grain exportation. You know, countries are banning exports. I mean, if you're not, you are not aware, I'm telling you. And even Ghana, this is Ghana's news. So, you see, we have to understand the issue at stake. Everybody is looking at protecting their citizens first before they export. India, last week I read, India is the second largest wheat exporter in the world. They've banned wheat export. So clearly going to even push the issues further regarding wheat-related products, flour and, you know, spaghetti and all the other things wheat is used to produce. See, so countries are protecting their citizenry, and this is Ghana's own. So government extends temporary ban on grain exportation. Government has extended the temporary ban on its exportation of grains, including rice, maize, and soya beans. The ban is to last for an additional 6 months, effective April 1st to 30th September 2022. And I can tell you, by September 30th, 2022, this ban will be extended again. On account of this directive, consequential action is being taken to ensure strict enforcement at all Metropolitan Municipal and District Assemblies, MMDAs, the Ministry of Food and Agriculture said in a letter to the Ministry of Local Government and Decentralization and Rural Development dated May 16, 2022. MOFA further requested that the local government ministry issue the required directives to MMDAs to take the necessary action with the involvement of the District Security Council, DISEX, to disseminate information and intensify the monitoring of trucks carting grains from market centers to neighboring countries. We urge that prompt action is taken at all times with the involvement of security agencies to give full effect to the directive of His Excellency the President, the letter concluded. The extension of this temporary ban on grains comes amidst the food shortage crisis as a result of the Ukraine war and a poor harvest season in the country. Let me repeat the second part. The Ukraine war and a poor harvest season in the country. So if you still don't understand what is happening, I'm giving you the real issues at stake. Still in Ghana, we have someone at the top in the system also talking. This is the title. Head says food shortage imminent due to Russia-Ukraine war. Putin there said, yeah, everything is on him. So this is Mr. Habibu Adam, a senior economist at the office of the senior presidential advisor, has stated that continued global food shortage during the latter part of this year and 2023 is imminent due to the Russian-Ukraine war. This is not Eben talking. This is somebody who is at the office of the president, senior advisor to the president's office. And he added, already the UN and the World Food Program have hinted of the looming food shortage and asked countries to brace themselves for the worst, as there would be food shortage globally. Underline, there would be food shortage globally due mainly to shortage of fertilizer. That's the main one, yes. And then the other secondary and tertiary factors as well. Speaking on the GNA Tema Industrial News Hub Boardroom Dialogue platform, he said, this one, the government has nothing to do. It's a global phenomenon. There is likely to be food shortage next year, beginning from this year onward. Actually, he has spoken the truth. It's from this year onward. And government has nothing to do. Okay, we'll take it like that. And then, oh no, you know, sometimes you read some things and it's like, you can just laugh because you know that some of these things are just political talk. The GNA, Tema Industrial News Hub, is a media link, think tank platform for state and non-state and commercial and business operators to communicate to the world and address global issues. Speaking to the theme, effects of Russia and Ukraine war on the global economy, prospects and challenges for Ghana, Mr. Adams said, to mitigate the effect of the war, especially the feared food shortage, the government was looking for substitutes to fertilizer to enable farmers to produce adequate food for the country. It has started raining already. So if you are now looking for fertilizer, the senior economist said, apart from the fertilizer-related issues, the war had also led to shortage of some essential things, including fuel, grains, platinum, as well as lithium, nickel, cobalt, which were metals used in electric vehicles, batteries. Mr. Adam said, Russia and Ukraine were among the world's largest exporters of cereal crops and oils, accounting for more than 30% of global grain, comprising wheat, maize, and barley exports. He added that whilst Ukraine supplied half of all sunflower oil and is said to be one of the world's largest contributors to the World Food Program, accounting for 40% of its wheat supplies, he stated that the effect of the war, which started on February 24th this year, had brought in its wake a higher cost of living due to high commodity prices, pushing prices to record high across the globe. He said it has also increased inflation rates rates of countries worldwide, saying March 2022 inflation of 19.4% in Ghana was the highest since 2009. And I think in April, the inflation rose to 23.6%, which is also another new high. All right, so it goes on and on. But this is the reality. This is the reality. So enough of the food. We'll talk about it again after the news. But then, a little of some of the madness happening in the Western world, which is also influencing our children here, for parents who are not taking these warnings serious. Disney, in the news again. Disney launches LGBT clothing line for kids. Can you imagine that? Now, for this year, Disney is all out. They they've thrown caution to the wind. Now they are not hiding anything again. I played, is it last month or so? I mean, they are leaked secret meetings. I mean, not secret meetings, but it leaked. So, you know, they are now saying it openly that they are targeting the children. They need to get them. So they are coming for your children. They are coming for our children. So if you're a parent and you still allow your children to watch Disney channels and Disney programming, you know, the old school stuff, fine. Those ones, the demons were not ready yet. But now, forget it. Now they know you cannot trust anything coming from Disney. You cannot. You cannot. Because they've declared their position on the children, on LGBT issues, that they are a fully fledged LGBT company and they need to get the children influenced by it. So anything, they are doing it. So now they come up with a clothing line. That's the worst that you can get to. So critics blast company for promoting sexual confusion. So Disney has released a new Pride collection. Oh, okay, next month is June, so Pride Month is coming. In line, oh, I see. So Disney has released a new Pride collection clothing line for children amid controversy surrounding the company's reaction to Florida's new parental rights in education bill and reported efforts to include LGBT advocacy in its children's programming. The family entertainment company launched the new fashion line on Monday, featuring merchandise such as sweaters, t-shirts, baby clothes, and other items, all bearing the rainbow pride flag that symbolizes the LGBT movement. The collection's launch comes 2 weeks before the start of the so-called Pride Month, which LGBT activists recognize each June. Many of the products also include LGBT-themed images of iconic Disney character Mickey Mouse and the company's Star Wars, Marvel, and Pixar franchises. The company is selling the item through its Shop Disney online store, the Disney retail shops, and theme parks. The Disney Pride collection was created by LGBTQIA+. Oh no, this before. Employees and allies at the Walt Disney Company. And it's a reflection of their incredible contributions and place at the heart of the company. The corporation wrote in a statement announcing the clothing line, quote, "We stand in solidarity with our LGBTQIA+ community everywhere," unquote. In an opinion piece published by the Daily Citizen, Zachary Mettler, staff writer and communications liaison for the Christian organization Focus on the Family, contended that Disney is targeting children with an LGBT agenda. The new clothing line is just a part of Disney's continued push to promote sexual confusion in children, Mettler told the Christian Post. And then, children weren't designed to carry the weight of adult sexuality. He further suggested that Disney is trying to plant the idea into children's heads that same-sex couples marrying is morally the same as a marriage between a man and a woman. He said the family entertainment company is attempting to teach children that gender is malleable, something he envisions will confuse and negatively impact them when they become young adults. In this announcement of the clothing line, Disney pledged to donate the entirety of the collection's proceeds now through June 30th to various LGBT activist groups, including Ali Fomi Center, JLSN, LGBTQ Center, OC, and blah, 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 and a list of all that. I mean, some in San Francisco and all that. Then Mettler views this as a sign that the corporation has become more vocal about its stance on LGBT issues than in previous years. According to Fox Business, the corporation has produced pride-themed clothing for children every year since 2018, but previously donated only a small percentage of the profits. This year, the company also renamed the fashion line from Rainbow Disney Collection to Disney Pride Collection. And I think parents, especially, need to be aware of the contents that their children are consuming, and ideally who provocatively discuss these issues with them, particularly topics on sexuality and gender identity, so that their children know how to navigate the content that these organizations promote, Metzler said. On March 11, Walt Disney Company CEO Bob Chapek apologized to employees via a letter for not taking a firmer stance against Florida Bill HB 1557. The law prohibits sexual orientation and gender identity instruction for students in kindergarten through third grade and requires schools to notify parents about their child's health care services on campus. Disney initially remained neutral about the legislation that critics derided as a don't say gay bill, changing its stance after criticism from LGBT employees and supporters. The company condemned the bill in a March 28 statement, declaring that it should never have passed and should never have been signed into law. A few weeks after the company first criticized the bill publicly, leaked video footage obtained by Manhattan Institute Christopher Rufo showed Disney employees discussing their efforts to promote an LGBT message in the company's children's programming. During the meeting, Latoya Revenue, an executive producer at Disney, praised the showrunners of the company's Proud Family reboot for adhering to her not-at-all-secret gay agenda. The spin-off of the children's animated series features new characters, including the same-sex couple. Franklin Graham, CEO of Samaritan Spurs and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, said Disney has gone too far in a Facebook post last month. What has happened at Disney is moral failure, Graham insisted. Walt Disney had a vision for the wholesome family entertainment. He was committed to the family. The morals of the corporation, the morals of the corporate leadership of Disney today are in the gutter, and they want to redefine family counter to God's original design and flaunt sin. Oh, that's the world we are in. It's just crazy. I think this week I saw one, and let me see if I can just find that news. European player who is being sanctioned for not wearing LGBT jersey. Some of these things. Come. Where's that news? I didn't add it, but it's just in line with this one. I've seen it here. So that one, let me quickly read. PSG footballer. Okay. PSG's Idrissa Gueye questioned for sitting out match during club support for LGBTQ community. So Idrissa Gueye, Gueye, a Senegalese soccer player who is a midfielder for Paris Saint-Germain, faced scrutiny earlier this week for sitting out a game which players wore jerseys with rainbow-colored numbers to denounce homophobia. Gueye didn't play in the PSG match against Montpellier. The Associated Press reported Tuesday he sat out the match because he didn't want to wear the rainbow-colored number. French Soccer Federation sent a letter to Gueye to clarify why he missed the match. So say by force. If the reports of him not wanting to wear a rainbow-colored number are untrue, then he can prove it by taking a photo of himself wearing the jersey, the letter reportedly said. Your absence has led to many speculations that have been very widely interpreted as a refusal to take part in this operation to raise awareness of the fight against discrimination, Council President Patrick Anton wrote to Gueye. Either these suppositions are baseless, in which case we ask you to express yourself without delay in order to stop these rumors. We invite you, for example, to accompany your message with a photo of you wearing the jersey in question. Or these rumors, reports, are true, in which case we ask you to take stock of the impact of your actions and very serious mistake committed. the fight against discrimination affecting different minorities is a vital and constant fight, whether it's skin color, religion, sexual orientation, or any other differences. All discrimination is based on the same grounds, the rejection of others. PSG manager Mauricio Pochettino said on Saturday, Guy missed the match due to personal reasons, quote unquote, personal reasons. Senegal president Macky Sall, tweeted his support for Guy, and former Prime Minister Abdou Mbaye defended the player. Mbaye said, Guy is not homophobic. He does not want his image to be used to promote homosexuality. Leave him alone. I like that. Anton added, by refusing to take part in the operation, you are validating discriminatory behavior and the rejection of others, and not just against those in the LGBTQ+ movement. The impact of soccer in society and the way players are role models for those who admire them gives all of us a personal sense of responsibility. We hope this letter makes you conscious of the fact that you need to clarify your position or to make amends. Hey, by force, wear the jersey, rep your jersey, LGBT. Let everybody know you support them, or else. You know, the world, I was telling a pastor friend this week that Sodom and Gomorrah, they were jokers. Oh, no. They didn't do anything. Sodom and Gomorrah, no. They were just playing. What we are seeing in this generation is absurd. Absurd to the highest level. You know, it doesn't make sense. Let me finish with the last news item. Okay, last two. But the last one, this week, my head, if I could spin my head on my neck round, and I would have done, because you read the news and you just ask yourself, is this a fiction quick one answer story that you are reading, or these are learned human beings who have been educated doing these things? You let me read this one, the first, and then get to the last. World Swimming Coaches Association calls for trans division to save girls' sports. And this is a good call. I support it. The World Swimming Coaches Association has released a position statement on the issue of boys competing on girls' swimming teams. That's absurdity. Acknowledging that their inclusion in girls-only competitions cannot be balanced with fairness. Yes. Whilst emphasizing that the WSCA has an unequivocal agenda for the sport of swimming to be experienced in an environment where everyone can partake in the sport and where everyone is treated with both dignity and respect. The association maintained that male athletes have an unfair advantage when competing against female athletes. This is obvious. The WSCA cited the retained differences in strength, stamina, physique that are present when comparing the average female and male as a justification for its position. One of the WCA's key pillars outlined in the statement declares that the characterization through birth sex remains to be the most useful and functional division relative to sporting performance, because this characterization acknowledges the broad range of significant performance differences between sexes. Whilst calling for the sport of swimming to retain the traditional sex categorization in association with age and, where appropriate, disability, the WSCA expressed an openness to finding a model of inclusion for transgender athletes. Competitive fairness cannot be reconciled with self-identification into the female category in a gender-affected sport such as swimming. The statement continued, the average differences in strength, stamina, and physique between the sexes is significant. The transgender females are, on average, likely to remain physical advantages listed above even if testosterone suppression is utilized. The WSCA weighed in on the idea of an open division where biological males who identify as female would compete against other biological males. However, others expressed concern after expressing concern that providing them with the competition that is predominantly that of competing against biological males becomes unfair to trans-identified males, the WSCA touted a trans division as a solution that will enable athletes of all gender identities to compete with their peers. That's all. Under such a scenario, the trans females will race each other and the trans males will race each other, referring to trans-identified males and trans-identified females, respectively. There is an argument that the trans males have been completely lost in this debate because they are uncompetitive in our current structure. This would also allow those indeterminate gender to be factored into such a solution. The WSCA concluded a statement by suggesting two options for recategorization in competitive swimming. First option would create a female category along with an open category, while the second option will establish a female category alongside a male category in an open category. Under both options, female entrants into competition would be required to declare themselves as persons recorded as female at birth. The discussion that trans-identified male athletes and their impact on women's sports comes as Leah Thomas, a trans-identified male who once competed on the University of Pennsylvania men's swimming team, set several records this past season whilst competing on Ivy League school's women's swimming team. Earlier this year, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, one of the governing bodies overseeing collegiate athletes in the U.S., adopted a policy allowing each individual sport to decide whether to allow trans-identified athletes to compete on teams that correspond with their gender identity as opposed to their biological sex. U.S. Swimming, which oversees competitive swimming in the U.S., unveiled the policy allowing trans-identical males to compete on the women's swimming team if they had consistently low testosterone levels. You know, this is madness. You see, I mean, this guy, this Leah Thomas guy, if you see his picture, you see his shoulders alone, and he's swimming with the ladies and winning gold. It's like, I just don't know. It's so annoying because it's just not fair. But, you know, that's what is happening now. We are in a world where good is bad, bad is bad, bad is good, black is white is black. But the most absurd of it all is now you have people who cannot answer who is a woman or what is a woman. I mean, you ask this question and people are beating around the bush and it's like, and this final news is just one of the absurd ones. Democratic witness tells U.S. House committee men can get pregnant and have abortions. And I watched the video and it's like, So a Democrat witness testifying before the House Judiciary Committee on Abortion Rights Thursday declared that men can get pregnant and have abortions. This generation. Amy Arambide, the executive director of the abortion rights nonprofit Avow Texas, was asked by a rep, that's Republican, Representative Dan Bishop, that's a Republican, to define what a woman is, to which she responded, "I believe that everyone can identify for themselves." "Do you believe that men can become pregnant and have abortions?" Bishop asked. "Yes," Arambibe replied. The remarks from Arambibe followed a tense exchange between Bishop, that's the Republican, and Dr. Yashika Robinson, another Democrat witness, after he similarly asked her to define woman. "Dr. Robinson, I noticed in your written testimony, you said that you use she and her pronouns. You are a medical doctor. What's a woman?" Bishop asked Robinson, that's an ops and gyn specialist too, and a board member of the Physicians for Reproductive Health. quote, "I think it's important that we educate people like you about why we are doing the things that we do," unquote, Robinson responded. "And so the reason why I use she and her pronouns is because I understand that there are people who become pregnant that may not identify that way. And I think it is discriminatory to speak to people or to call them in such a way as they desire not to be called. Are you going to answer my question? Can you answer the question? What's the woman?" Bishop asked again. "I'm a woman, and I'll ask you, which pronouns do you use?" Robinson replied. "If you tell me that you use she and her pronouns, I'm going to respect you for how you want me to address you. So you gave me an example of a woman. You say that you're a woman. Can you tell me otherwise what a woman is?" Bishop asked. "Yes, I'm telling you, I'm a woman," Robinson responded. Is that as comprehensive a definition as you can give me?" Bishop asked. That's as comprehensive a definition as I will give you today," Robinson said, "because I think it's important that we focus on what we are here for, and let's talk about access to abortion. So you are not interested in answering the question that I asked unless it's part of the message you want to deliver," Bishop fired back. And see, a few weeks ago, or 2 months or so ago, the new Supreme Court, one of the new Supreme Court justices who was being questioned at the same house, was also asked the same question. And a black American lady, "What is a woman?" And she couldn't answer, just laughing around it. And, you know, because they don't want to offend. What is a woman is as simple as what is a woman. I mean, it's simple. But no, we are in a world where now what is a woman is so complicated that even now some call pregnant women as birthing people. Birth, they give birth, so birthing people. Because they just don't want to use the word woman to classify pregnant women. So some call them birthing people in the U.S. now. I mean, all sorts of words to describe gender and the absurdity that we have in this generation. Indeed, if you look at the times we are living in, it tells you that the end time is really upon us. This is Eben. The program is on Spirit FM, is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this beautiful song by so it's Gayel Ali, a beautiful song on the end times.
Look up, yeah. About the day of the Lord, and the whole world shake, the big earthquake when he returned. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist and you see nation rise against nation, abomination of a desolation. Look up your redemption journey, where he draws near. He will wipe away your tears, when he draws near. He'll give you faith, kick all your fears, and you will know that you believe all he said. Look up, your redemption draws near. See the sign in the sky, in the
Every eye will see and bow their knee, every tongue confess. Oh, yes, you are. He draws near. He will wipe away your tears. When he draws near, he'll give you faith, kick all your fears. But you will know, and you believe all he says. And look up, your redemption draws near. Look up, your redemption draws near.
All right, look up. Indeed, these are the times we live in. This is as Jesus described in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark chapter 3.
My name is Prophet Simon Opoku.
And
I have a message to the world. I want the world to pay attention.
All right, so I'll be playing this file by Reverend Prophet Simon Opoku. This was in April 2020, around the time COVID was making inroads in the world. So you listen to it, and then we'll talk after.
My name is Prophet Simon Opoku, and I have a message to the world. I want the world to pay attention to this particular message from today, and let's note it and watch it very carefully. The Lord appeared to his son and gave me a message for the globe. In a revelation, I saw that a mass of people had gathered and all of them had queued in search for food, and they were going to buy food. But the food they were going to buy was from just a particular source, because people could not find food to buy anywhere else. So there was a long queue, and the queue was just swelling up and swelling up and swelling up. The only exemption to people forming that queue were people who had a certain card, a blue card, and it was a medical card that allowed somebody to bypass the queue, to just go and buy that food. So the Lord showed me this, and people had queued, they were going to buy food. Very long queue. I mean, unending queue, but you were just going to buy the food from one source. And then the Lord took me there. I bypassed the queue, bought some of the food. And at the end of the day, I was taken I was chauffeured. I got a taxi afterwards, and then they drove me off together with about two or three more people who weren't feeling well in that revelation. And then I was dropped back in my home. And then the Lord said to me, he said, son of man, what I have showed you is a message that must go to the globe. And that there is hunger and starvation that is about to strike the world. And that in this hunger, what will be happening is that many countries will not be able to import food even from other countries. So people will have money to buy the food, but food will be in scarcity. Food will be very scarce. And people will not get money to, people will not be able to get some of the food to buy. Hence the reason I showed you that long queue and from people buying from just one source. So this is a message to the governments of our world, that nations should start preparing ahead of time, as it was in the days of the Bible, as it was in the days of Joseph, when upon the face of the earth there was no food to buy anywhere except Egypt. Countries should start domesticating, people should start preparing and putting their food together as a country, I mean, or as nations. Because there's coming a time when people will strive hard to even get food to import. Countries will have money, but getting the food to import from other countries will be a problem, and there will be barriers and restrictions on even importation of food. So God is preparing and telling the globe ahead of time that there's hunger coming. At least within the next 6 years, the globe is going to face a lot of economic challenges. And so countries should just prepare and store up enough to be able to cater for its citizens. If you don't do this, the countries will be found wanting. So I am putting this message across that individuals should start preparing in their own small way, in packaging themselves, in storing food or packaging food for themselves, and in the medium to long term, and then governments should equally do the same. Because if you don't do this and if you don't prepare, there will be chaos across the globe. This is the message that the Lord gave to me just today, and I want the world to recognize it and to watch it and to note it. Let's advise our government and those in government, let's start preparing. Let's start preparing the silos, and let's start preparing and storing the food ahead. And individuals should equally prepare ahead of a bit of drought and hunger, which is about to hit the globe. God bless you. Thank you for your attention. And I pray that we take this serious, and I pray that we watch it very closely, because after this corona pandemic, which has hit the globe, something more is coming up, and that is starvation and hunger. I believe it will be a ripple effect of the corona effect that the globe has seen now. So let's get ready and let's prepare ahead of time. God bless you and stay blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This was, I think, 13th April 2020. Hello, good evening, Prophet.
Oh, hello, good evening, sir.
Okay. Listeners, we have Prophet Simon Opoku online. He's in Accra, so he's joining by phone. His good friend, Reverend Bismarck Opoku Nkumasi, is a very good friend. He's my pastor. And so he sent me the link this week. So as soon as I watched, I said, no, let me see if I can get him on Issues of Life. So, Prophet, you heard yourself what you said 2 years ago. And the news I read today, some of it is already unfolding. Ghana is even banned the export of maize, soybean. Countries are already, just as you said, restrictions are already in place, limitations and all that. But then, beyond this morning you spoke to me a bit, what the Lord showed you afterwards, like beyond this. So if we can talk about that one too, and then we get into other things.
All right. Good evening to you and your cherished listeners. And thank you for inviting me to this call. Yes, so you said, right, the message came 3 years ago. I mean, that revelation. In which I saw what you just played to the hearing of the general public. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Lord gave a warning after the time that we should escalate and send them to the globe. That, yes, there's hunger coming, and that it will span close to about 6 years from that time. That is from that year 2020.
Yes.
And so if that date is any day to go by, then we are looking at extra 4 years ahead of us. Going to be a very, very challenging time across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've asked a critical question about what happened after that encounter with the Lord. Now, there was a follow-up message that God gave to me, and even before I put that across, I would want the nation, especially Ghana. Sometimes it's quite unfortunate that when some of these things come up, mm-hmm. and we put it across, leaders wouldn't pay attention to it. They will ignore some of these things. And so I remember when this particular person came, even contacted one or two people in the helm of affairs and said, guys, let's start preparing. Let's start going to agriculture, planting more foods. But if the government for a day may not or will not listen to us per se, we would encourage the churches.
Thank you.
We encourage the churches to educate our members, come together. Let's start investing more in agriculture production ahead and prepare ahead of the drought. Because as it was in the days of Joseph in Egypt, there's drought ahead of us. And it's a general drought across the globe. But some countries are going to suffer the more.
Yeah.
I will actually tell you a bit about the revelation that unfolded after. But I want to just lay a bit of emphasis on what you just laid to the hearing of everybody. Now, so I'm saying that we should prepare ahead of drought. Even in these times, all of us have seen the financial challenges, the difficulties getting food, etc. It's going to get worse in the next 4 years. And so I am just, and we are not here to sound fear and panic. Mm-hmm. No, not at all, not for any reason. But the fact of the case is that this is what a message that God gave to us. And we must prepare ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So corporate bodies, churches in particular, now the church in Ghana forms about 70% of our population. So if the church would actually embark on mass production or investment in agriculture, I am sure our nation in particular will be sorted or will be saved in such difficult times.
Yeah.
So that's my advice. Now, a message came to me after that, and the Lord said, son, on the map, look at fire. I could see fire moving across the eastern part of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that it looked like fire had entered a larger part of the east of Africa. It was just devouring things. And some wild animals, like lions, came out of the bush, and they came out of fire. And they were also consuming some other animals. I could see the fire moving on the map. And it moved towards the eastern part of Africa. So, and the Lord said to me, son, he said, look at what I'm showing you, son. And the Lord said, this thing represents extreme form of the drought. As it happened in your year, in your country, in the year 1983, something similar in the other part of Africa, and it's going to happen in the form of fires and disasters across the eastern part of Africa, and they are going to be in short supply of food. And I could see the fire moving down the map of Africa, heading toward the southern part of Africa. So the Lord told me that all these things that he was showing me were just bits and pieces of continental challenges. Mm-hmm. About fires, about disasters, which are going to lead us into some form of famine or hunger and starvation. There's another thing that the Lord said to me. He said, in the year 2023 in particular, and we are just heading into the year 2023.
Yeah.
We are so close to it. The Lord said there's going to be some global alliances. And it will start within the west part of the world. Mm-hmm. So the Western nations, some Western nations are going to form alliances among themselves and start buying and selling the little they have among themselves. And this part of our world, Africa, if we don't rise up to the occasion, we are going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't rise up to the occasion, we are going to suffer. Because the impact will be felt more on this side of the world.
Yeah.
That is Africa. And so I am just saying that we should prepare. Individuals should prepare. Organizations, corporate bodies, churches in particular, the church must rise up.
Yeah.
Because we will see we will see nations like China forming alliances with some other parts of the world, and especially those around them, and they'll be doing a lot of trading. We will see countries like India taking the lead, India in particular, taking the lead on the globe in terms of food supply. Mm-hmm. But then they will shift their attention more to the West, America, and those on, in the West. This side of the world, especially when it comes to maize supply, Africa is going to struggle if we don't produce more on this side. That was a message that the Lord actually gave to me. Mm-hmm. And so we should prepare. And so if you ask a question about the follow-up, this is the bit and pieces that God showed me. I saw disaster around the eastern part of Africa, somewhere around Kenya, you know, those countries around the east.
Yeah.
So all of them are going to go into serious droughts and challenges as we enter 2023.
Actually, it has started in Kenya already. Last week, I even read about it on this program. About 20 million people are in famine in eastern Africa as we speak. Yeah.
Wow. So you also spoke about that, right?
Yeah. Last week, news. I read that news last week. Yeah.
Okay. So we need to really be very careful. In the next 4 years, I had this opportunity sounding the alarm. God gave me a message, as you can see from YouTube, 2020. That's like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And a year before that, I had taken a message about this coronavirus pandemic. And by this opportunity, I also want to sound an alarm again that God told me when he gave me the message about the corona that it was going to span for 10 good years. Wow. It was cooked by the deepest darkness, mm-hmm. by the principalities and the powers, you know. And their agenda was to destroy the global economy.
Yeah.
And it was intended to last for 10 years. So if the body of Christ does not rise up to prayer, what we'll see is that we'll hear bits and pieces of it here. Mm-hmm. You hear that, you feel that everything is going down. The next moment, you hear another one country, it's come up in one country. And then the next time you hear it in another country, before you realize, it's spreading again across the globe. I've sounded this alarm over and over and over, possibly not through the right platform, or mostly on Facebook, but I thank God for this opportunity today. And God bless Reverend Bismarck. God bless for Assemblies of God. God bless him for that. So I am just sounding the alarm. We should pray. The body of Christ, any time we go on our knees, let's pray. Let's intercede on behalf of our land. But also, it is written in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that it is in the heavens so that there's no rain.
Yeah.
And if it even if it sends locusts to come and devour our land, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn away from their wicked ways and pray. I, the Lord, I will come down, I'll hear their prayers and I'll hear their land. So with our God, all things are possible.
Amen.
However, even as we expect God to come in to do so much for us, there's much also expected from the side of man.
Yeah.
Man has a responsibility. And when it comes to things of this nature, God will always sound the alarm, as it was in the days of Joseph. God planted a man to lead a nation and then to gather food. Africa, this is our time. Let us arise, let us plant, and let us prepare. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Prophet Simon Opoku. You know, the reality, I mean, for the listeners of this program, I've been saying some of these things, that the whole system, as we have it in the world now, is designed to just, the globalists they've planned everything. Destroying the world economy is one of the agenda. So, all that you are saying I can say it's the truth. I mean, I say it boldly, it's the truth. You see, the world will not have peace, in quotes, as we know we want it. I've been telling my listeners that we are not going to pre-COVID era. The world we knew it is gone. It's gone forever.
Mm.
We are in a new world order. And this system is going to be on till Christ comes. So, that's why Christians should really get up their loins and understand the season we are in. And I like the call you've made to the church. This afternoon, I was just thinking about the same thing, that the church can easily get into farming. The church can easily get into farming. So
I
believe, as many pastors who are listening to Issues of Life this evening, deacons, pastors, elders, and all, please discuss these things at your church level. Pastors, let's take this thing very seriously. I started talking about this farming and food crisis on this program from last year, August. I started warning that food crisis is coming. I've been reading UN reports, various reports, scientific reports that show that there is a crisis coming. So if the scientific reports confirm it, and now God himself has also given advance notification, then what else do you want to hear again before we take it up and know that God is warning the church? You see, God loves us. So there's no reason why he would just turn away and not give us advance notice when he knows that he has his prophets in the land, he has his children in the land. So he gives us this knowledge to know what to do and to know when to do things and to know how to do things. Unfortunately, a lot of people, it's sad, but let me say this. I even talk to friends now, not right now in the minute, but this week and the last few weeks and all. And people are ignorant about what is happening. People have no idea at all. So when you start talking to them and you start explaining things to them before they get enlightened, and it's like, whoa, we didn't know. So there's a lot of ignorance in the system. But I believe that as many as hear these things would not just take it lightly. I'm not Reverend.
I want, of course, you are still work so much for the country, the work of the Lord. I want to just chip in something.
Message,
your call to the nation is a call from the Lord.
Amen.
It's a call from God. So you've got a message actually right. You know, to have started trumpeting this from somewhere last year, you know, because, you know, I mean, but the Bible said that God will not do anything on this earth without involving his prophets, right?
Yeah,
and so if God has brought this message, a message ahead of time, I think the church, and we being the vast, the biggest population, the biggest majority in our population, out of our population, we stand every chance to save the land.
Yeah.
And so what you are right. And the reason why I even interrupted you is that I wanted to also read another call that the focus or part of the message that we are presenting to the flock should be about economic empowerment going forward. Because where the world is heading towards now, if we don't perform and get people aligned in the order where the world is going now, Christians are going to suffer. Mm-hmm. Christians are really going to suffer. And so it's not just about Christians, but it's about everybody. I mean, every child of God, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Hindu, whether you are wherever, everybody should start preparing ahead of the drought.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance ahead. God said 6 years. Now 2 years have elapsed from the year 2020. And now we see a very difficult transition. Almost everybody is somehow about facing some kind of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We are not yet at the end of it.
No.
We are only beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So let's prepare and let's gather. Let's prepare, let's gather. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Prophet Simon Opoku, for this insight and giving us the word of the Lord, what he showed you 2 years ago. And I believe, well, listeners, you've heard it yourself. So, Prophet, God bless you. And I believe another time we will also talk again.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
Right.
Bye-bye.
All right, so listeners, that's it. You had it yourself. You had it. And that's the truth. I've been telling you some of these things already, that the globalists, they've set the scheme. They are just doing what they are doing for their gain. The world is not going to any better position as we've known it years back. So that's why we should know the times and know the season. Then, you know, allow the Lord to direct and lead us. Allow the Lord to direct and to lead us. As for the crisis, I mean, I tell people that the famine that is coming, we cannot pray to stop it. I mean, I say this confidently. I know why I'm saying it. There is like, it has been set. There are some things which has been set in the spiritual realms already. And the only prayer you can pray is for the endurance and the guidance and the provision from like God regarding it. But to say that it will not come to pass, for that one, I'm sorry. It's going to happen because the word of God says it, that famines are going to happen in the end times. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, these things cannot be stopped through prayer. But we can endure it through the grace of God and his provisions and his wisdom and his guidance. That's why he gives, you know, you just ponder and think about this. Why would God give an advance notice of 2 years ahead of time that something is coming? I mean, if he doesn't want his children to prepare, he will just be quiet about it. And then suddenly we'll just be caught unawares. See, so the reason why God gives these warnings, dreams, visions, and all that is for the church to prepare. Unfortunately, I mean, sometimes we had just no interest, as if, oh, you are just carrying us. You tell people, you talk to people about it. Oh, Nyamewoho. It's like, you know, people just don't take it serious. They just brush it off. Oh, it's one of those. Oh, it's like, oh, I mean, what? And it's like, it amazes me because God is giving consistent warnings. Consistent warnings. I still know people who the Lord is giving messages to and dreams and all of what is coming. It is coming. It is coming. The church should be ready. The children should be ready. But to tell people, and people think you are just scaring us, so they just brush it off, don't take it serious. But you see, you cannot blame God if we don't act. We cannot. No, we cannot blame God if we don't act. It's a two-way thing. He gives us information. The best we can do is to go back to him and ask him for further clarification, better particulars. How do we do it? Help us to do it. Guide us to do it. Provide us to do it. Then, you see, that's what he expects us to be doing. But just to hear a message from God and just brush it off, at the end of the day, we cannot blame God because he spoke. But who didn't hear? We didn't hear. And that's exactly the season we are in, where we, you see, God is using his prophets, his children, to admonish the body of Christ to wake up to the reality of the times we are in. I was telling a friend not long ago about this issue, that it presents a perfect opportunity for the church to evangelize. Because assuming there's no food in the system, and the church has food, is that not an opportunity for the church to draw the crowds, the lost, give them Christ, give them food? You know, and you see, the church has opportunity. We cannot say that. I can tell you for a fact that a lot of churches have the means to get into farming. A lot of churches can afford to get into farming. I mean, you see, and we shouldn't be scared as to there's no fertilizer, there's a shortage of fertilizer and all that. You see, let's get into the Bible and believe the God of the Bible. Isaac planted at the very place where others were not able to plant. He planted and got a multiple fold. You see, unless we don't believe the Bible that we read, but if we believe in the God that we serve, that he's a God who multiplies things, then we can believe that even if there's no fertilizer, we can still plant and our fruits will yield more than those who are even using fertilizer. Oh, yes. And it happens. I remember there's this, years back, there's this town in somewhere in Latin America, small town there. It's a pure Christian town. Everybody is born again. Prisons are empty. Police station is empty. No work to be done. Everybody is born again in that town. And it's a farming community. So their yields are bigger than the normal average of everything that they plant. Because God has blessed the land by virtue of the system that they are Christians. And they've dedicated the place to God. Their yields are super. So you see, we cannot say that we believe in God in some aspects of our lives, but we don't want to believe God can do some miracles too for us in some other aspects. You see, it's time we really believe God across board in providing, in guidance, in everything. These are the times we have to really push our faith to another level. And I believe the next 4 weeks I'm going to talk about building our faith in these seasons. And it's going to be based on biblical references, case studies in the Bible, and how and why we should start basing our faith on the word of God. Because you see, the season we are in is only God. It's only God. The season that we've entered is only God who can take us through the season. You see, because the world economy is just, it's almost collapsing. It's just about to collapse. Soon we are going to have defaults. This week, Sri Lanka they had their default, they couldn't pay their debts. Soon more countries are going to start defaulting. Recession is coming in the US very soon. The ripple effect will run through the whole world economy. See, the system is about to go down. The world economy is about to go down. And this is planned. I mean, this whole thing we are talking about, some people are just sitting in their boardroom and they just look at it and laugh. It's their creation. They are creating a chaotic world that eventually helps bringing out the Antichrist system. And that's exactly what they are doing. So they know what they are doing. But, you know, it aligns with the word of God. So who else do you think they are wise? God is also laughing at them. But at the end of the day, God will have the last laugh anyway. So as believers, we should understand the season, the times we are in. And if we allow God to direct us, to give us the wisdom for the season, we will not be found wanting. No, we will not be found wanting. Because you see, the issues at stake is that this is a global thing. This is not something like Ghana alone. No. And you heard the second part he was talking about, where countries would hold on to they trade amongst themselves, alliances. And see, let's get one thing clear. These whites, they don't love us. Not that they love us. No. They only find our use when they are benefiting from us. They are getting our resources, our gold, our this, our that. If they don't get anything from us, we are of no use to them. So when the times become critical, they will deal with themselves. They will have nothing to do with us. So if we don't put our house in order, as the prophet was saying, and we still want to be reliant on importation, then we'll be hot. Because the countries where you don't, even now it has started, countries have started banning exports. Ghana is doing the same too. We've also stopped banning. We've started banning export of our things. So when we ban yours, others will ban theirs. Everybody is banning their own. And then it's like it's now based on alliances that you'll be trading with. So when the rich people are talking among themselves, you the poor person, who are you going to talk to? But if we are doing our own thing in our own backyard, in our churches have their own farms, and we are doing our own thing, I mean, the rest is none of our business. If we can't import food, we can produce our own food. You see, these are things which we can't ignore. We can't say that it doesn't affect us. I mean, it's a reality. We are all seeing, when you go to the market, we all see the price, the interest rates, I mean, so the inflation. We are all seeing it. So these are the times to get closer to God and allow God to direct our steps, to order our steps, and to lead us. Because if we want to depend on our own wisdom, we will fail. If we want to depend on our own strength, we will fail. So, well, let me end here. I have 5 more minutes, but let me end with this song to get you some inspiration. And God willing, next week we'll be continuing this program. You can get the recording on spiritissues.info. Those on the Telegram too, you can get the file. I've uploaded there as well. I'm Eben, and thank you for listening. God willing, next week will be coming your way. God bless you.